WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Doug Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time to huddle. The coaches huddle at the tavern on South Shore. Every Wednesday, starting at 6, the coaches huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Alt throws deep down the right side. Numbers has Bolio at the 10. Stops, cuts back, dives in. Touchdown, Bemidji State's Brendan Bolio.
The coaches huddle with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz.
What a pass and what a catch. And what a run after the catch from Bolio. 1:16 left in the third. It's 30-25.
Huge play. And for Bolio, I mean, that just shows your experience. The throw was coming left back shoulder. That's where he was looking.
Stop by for a cold beer and the best wings in town. And we might just pick up your tab. You're home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
Good evening and welcome to the tavern for the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Homecoming week for the Beavs.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. Three-game weekend here on the Beaver Radio Network.
Lots going on with the homecoming week. The volleyball team and the soccer team are also at home this weekend. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. All three of those are at home. Typically, one or both of them are actually
right.
Gone.
Yeah.
So it's a plus that Beaver faithful will be able to get out and watch soccer and volleyball this weekend as well. The week always starts with the Mr. Beaver pageant. raises a bunch of money for charity,
it's
which
a great
is great
idea.
It's just an odd concept to me. But it is what it is. It's become a tradition around here, and students love it, so what the heck. Wraps up, of course, with Beaver football on Saturday. Football is the mainstay of homecoming week, but parades and tailgate parties and street dance
well,
after
even
and
stuff
all
on
sorts
Sunday.
Of stuff.
Concert on Sunday, yeah. Soccer on Sunday, too. But, yeah, it's always a fun time, and hopefully we'll – it's a little earlier this year.
I'm all right with that.
Like, wow, okay, yeah, it's going to be nicer weather. I mean, from a temperature perspective, I don't know about rain, but
Augustana is having a homecoming in the third week of October.
Ooh.
I'm like, granted, you're 6 hours south
yeah,
of us.
They're probably safe.
Man, that is late.
We've had snow on the ground by then sometimes.
So you just be quiet. I don't even want to think about that yet.
So no. It is earlier, though. Usually it's like the first weekend of October, it seems like, for Bemidji State's homecoming, but obviously a little bit earlier. They've already been in school for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now because they started before Labor Day. So it's, I mean, it's
one of the student athletes we interviewed this week had three tests this week.
Oh, already. Like, wow.
I know,
I
right?
guess they have been in school for
3 weeks, yeah.
A few weeks. It would be test time already, but that made me not want to go back to school, to be honest with you.
Well, just that? I mean, come on. I mean, there's no way I'm going back to school now. Kelly, I mean, you were back in school at a...
Yeah.
You were a student older than average, right?
Yeah, I
Very politically
back.
Correct there, Bess.
Thank you.
That's what we called them when we were in school.
Went back in 2007, graduated with a sports management degree in 2009, and... Yeah, once a Beaver, always a Beaver. Woohoo!
Jordy Hine, speaking of which, will be our guest here in a bit.
The former quarterback.
Which best you?
I'm like, oh, yeah, I thought he was our quarterback. He was.
Like, we're not having a coach today? I'm like, he is a coach. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Brandon Ault now, who seems like a coach himself.
He's been here
how
like
experienced
6 years,
he's been.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon Ault might be as old as Jordy Hine.
Maybe.
Could be.
The president of the university is speaking to the team today after
That's
their practice.
That's so cool.
So Jordy is going to be a few minutes late because of that. But he will join us. We always like to bring back
president.
We like to bring back an alum. you know, if possible, for homecoming week. Last year was Brian Stoffel, current Lumberjack coach. Boy, he had some good stories to tell of his time here.
He did.
Some great stories.
So Jordy Hine will join us here in just a bit. Football game last week. Why doesn't the people just come up here and just start asking us questions?
Because they all know us,
and
man.
Kel takes their headset off.
Yeah.
Football game last week was another one where you sit and you think about it, you know, mid-third quarter. Like, man, the Beavs, they really don't deserve to be in this game. You look at the scoreboard and, yeah, they're down a couple touchdowns. And you blink your eyes and there it is. They're going for two for a win. 2 weeks in a row of absolute heartbreak.
Yeah.
A last-minute touchdown catch for Minnesota State Mankato in the end zone that was batted away by the Beaver secondary right into the receiver's chest. Go figure. And then last week, the Beavers go for two. Their kicking game has struggled. So we'll go into depth in depth on that with Coach Bolte in the pregame on Saturday. You know, you'd be surprised how early that conversation was had between the coaches.
Well, kicking's such an important part of the game, Brian. I mean, I recall my time, you know, back before you got here in the 1990s, and that was one of the biggest problems. You're giving away points. And Saturday's a prime example. If you can't kick an extra point, you're giving away points, and that makes it that much more difficult. They make every extra point, Brian. They're not going for two. They're winning the football game. And so it's something that they're definitely obviously going to try to work on. But it can be a game changer. Kicking is, you know, it's called upon when needed. And it's a key component of football, and we've seen it. We've been very fortunate here at BSU to have very consistent field goal kicking since probably 2000, 2001. But it comes and goes, and as we've seen from a Viking perspective, it can go pretty quickly. So, you know, hopefully can right the ship with the kickers they have on hand.
You know, typically when – and Jordy Hine is also the special teams coordinator, so he can talk about some of this too when he gets here.
Mm. Well, he's got to be pretty frustrated.
Speaking of which, he comes around the corner right there. But, yeah, the Beavers were the conversation I had with Coach Bolte that will air during the pregame on Saturday was interesting how early that conversation was held.
Well, I mean, again, and Jordy might be able to fill us in a little bit.
They were down two touchdowns, and Coach Bolte on the headset up to Carson Pike, the offensive coordinator in the press box. Get your two-point play ready. We're going to score two touchdowns. We're going to go for two for the win. He said that very, very early in the fourth
emphatically.
Quarter.
Well, and yes. Foreshadowing, you know. Yeah. And you got to like it. I mean, I don't think you can argue with going for it and going for the win and on the road and not going for the tie. And I think everybody's kind of learned through the years. I mean, you go for it. If you have a chance to win the game on one play.
And they had a play. The play was designed perfectly.
Not executed or what?
Little question as to whether or not the D-back jumped on the back a little early.
Okay.
But Brent Bolte admitted, Carson Pike said it after the game and the post-game show. He goes, you got to make the play. You can't leave it up to the ref.
Oh, absolutely.
Knocked it down. Beavers lose by one.
Well, and that's frustrating. And two games in a row where they clearly – I don't know about Augustana, but they were clearly the better team against Mankato. You turn the ball five times, you know, turn the ball over five times, you're not going to win the football game most of the time, no matter how good you are. And they still should have won that football game.
The Beavers against Augustana, and their run defense is very good. Could not run the ball.
Well, and that's been the problem first couple of games.
Brandon Ault targeted Brendan Bolio 20 times Saturday.
Wow.
Had 20 passes thrown his way.
Wow.
He caught 12 of them for 160 yards.
He's hard to cover, even if it, you know, it's coming, right?
Yeah. Like
it's not a bad percentage, but
no. Jordy Hine with us, assistant coach of the Beavers, an alum. We always like bringing an alum back on homecoming week, Jordy. It seems like you've been here for, I don't know, the better part of a decade and a half. part of that was your brother who was here earlier, Jesse Hine, the center, but then you come and you went right from playing into coaching, correct?
Yeah, you got it right, 100%.
What is it about this place? mean, it's homecoming. You haven't left, so it's home staying for you. But what made it so special?
Yeah, I think for me, number one, Bemidji's a lot like where I grew up in Perham. You know, the Lake Country is something that, you know, is home to me. So I think that's what kind of keeps me around. And then obviously the people is probably the second part. A lot of good people up here, and it makes this place super special.
You were a darn good college quarterback. What have you learned about the game as a coach that you had no idea as a quarterback?
Where do I even begin? You know, I had a lot of great coaches when I was playing here. And then when I transitioned from playing into coaching, I thought I knew some stuff, but boy, did I do a lot of learning those first few years, and I'm still learning to this day. But yeah, and our current staff we have, like Coach Pike, he's been a big mentor to me. He's kind of groomed me and molded me into the coach I am, and he's a guy that, you know, we say we're like Batman and Robin, so...
Now, as a quarterback, and you're the quarterback coach, correct? So, obviously, you have the experience of playing quarterback. What's the relationship with you and Brandon? Because, I mean, I would think, I personally find it difficult to go, hey, I would have done this, I would have done that, because you were in the position not that long ago.
Right, and so I actually coach the wide receivers. Coach Pike coaches the quarterbacks. But, you know, I don't do a whole lot of talking to the QBs unless they ask for advice in certain situations, kind of what would I do or what would I think. But that's kind of us as a whole offense, a lot of collaborative effort, trying to put points on the board.
So wide receiver, special teams coach.
Yep, you got it.
So with this group of wide receivers, you've got a lot of talent there.
That's an understatement.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Makes my job easy. So.
But with that much talent, after these first two games and these close games, how do you keep them from kind of letting it get to their heads?
Yeah, you know, I think... As you guys have seen our first two games, we made a lot of mistakes as an offense in particular, and starts with turning the ball over. You know, you turn the ball over, you're not going to win a whole lot of football games, especially in this league. So it starts there. And, you know, one thing that we've talked about in particular this week, we may be averaging 31 points a game right now, but we average giving the defense 14 points as well. That's from defensive touchdowns occurring. So that's been our big point of emphasis this week, but I got a great group of receivers, so it makes my job fun.
You're without Bryce Bubba Peters. He's injured, still not going to play this week. That is a big missing puzzle piece.
No doubt.
Now the rest of the guys, in particular the young guy, why am I drawing 12? Tony Barron.
Oh, Joey, yeah.
Joey Barron. And you look at Bolio, you look at Del Duncan Busby, they're both 6'2", 6'3". And Barron is 5'8", 180-some pounds.
The Edelman guy,
but
right?
Yep,
100%. Dang it, the guy just gets open.
I tell you what, you talk about a program guy, a guy who came in as a walk-on, earned a scholarship after his first year just from the body of work that he put in. Now, he's not going to outrun anyone, but he's going to outwork you. He's a tough, physical dude, and he's got super good hands. So now we're trying to find ways to get him the ball because he just – all he's been doing is making plays. So,
well, and in your scheme, I mean, there's – you got every set there is, right? I mean, other than maybe one wide receiver. You don't see that very often, but, I mean, usually four or five wide receivers,
yep.
Right? I mean, so at any given time, your core – I mean, are you determining kind of who might be out there or –
No, a lot of that falls on to Coach Pike, our offensive coordinator. Now, during the week as a staff, as an offensive staff, you know, we'll go into our game plan. Okay, what personnel do we like? How can we get different guys on the field? But a lot of that occurs on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then as the week goes on, we have a good idea.
And who should we put where?
Yes.
Like with Joey, I mean, he's probably a slot guy.
100%, yep. And then that's where, like you said, Bubba Peters is a guy – you know, he's kind of got more Malik Williams-type traits, more of a vertical threat, where Joey's more of an underneath, sure hand kind of guy, get him matched up one-on-one on linebackers. So,
I'm going to be blunt, Jordy. At times the last 2 weeks, your offense didn't look like they deserved to be in the game, and you blink your eye, and you're back in the game.
Yep.
You guys can score at will. So the question I always hear is, well, how come the offense doesn't do that all the time? Well, the other team has something to say about that.
Yep.
And you can't just chuck the ball 50 yards downfield on every play. That ain't going to work.
Right.
How is that balancing act accomplished of still trying to establish a run game. And I'll give your offensive staff a ton of credit last week. You guys tried and tried and tried to get the run game going.
Yep.
You didn't abandon it.
Right.
But what is that balancing act like?
Yeah, and I think that's what we're searching for right now. We know we're an explosive offense. That's kind of been our MO the last few seasons, is being able to score fast and, you know, put up points. But now we got to find that balance of running the football. And I think you'll see this Saturday, you know, a couple different things that we're going to tweak and do, is just trying to get, you know, the guys in the right position to make plays for us and get the run game going, because we got really good backs. And I know it's been tough to see playing two really good defenses right away. It's particular big guys and good run-stopping defenses. So hopefully we can get it going on Saturday.
How much film do you watch on the defense against those wide receivers? Like, obviously, you get a chance to watch a lot of film.
Yep.
But do you kind of just focus on, okay, this is how they're going to go man-to-man or coverage? Or, I mean, like, how much of that do you go, okay, well, I'm sorry, but you're not going to play much this weekend because this is the way the defense plays?
Yeah, not necessarily more personnel, but I think as a staff, offensive staff, we have it broken up kind of Sunday, Monday, the duties of what we're watching for. Like, for me, the receiver guy, I'm primarily focusing on the secondary. Coach Nissen, Coach Labath, tight end, fullback, and O-line coach, they're focusing on the D-line. And then Coach Tuck, the running back guy, and the linebackers. Then we come together, and we kind of talk our thoughts on everything and start coming up with a game plan.
Why is it, and of course, if you knew this, you'd probably be running the ball better, but, I mean, you have such a prolific passing game that you'd think that the running game would be, you know, would take it, be able to take advantage of that, because the other team's going to try to shut you down passing-wise.
Right.
You're known as a passing team.
Yep.
Why is it then that the running game still struggles?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I touched on before, you know, we got to give credit. You know, particularly last weekend, Augustana's front seven is probably one of the best, for sure, in our league, if not in the country, in Division II. But, yeah, we got to find a way to get it going, that's for sure.
Well, and you hear it all the time. I mean, if we can establish running, then that's just going to make your passing game that much better, which is kind of scary.
Easier said than done.
Given how scary your passing game is.
Yeah, and I think what's the most frustrating part about last weekend is, you know, Augustana – we know what looks they're going to give us. We know what it's going to be, and it's just it's an uphill battle.
Ball. Yeah. Well, but on the vice versa, they could say, we know Bolio is going to get targeted 10, 15 times, and they can't stop him.
Right. Well,
right?
He's a dude. Brendan Bolio, he's a different cat.
So it goes both ways. I mean, they're probably going, look, we're really good at the run, but we got to figure out a way to stop these guys passing-wise. And that's the struggle that Augustana's defense, I would imagine, has.
Yeah, and I think – going back to, you know, like we talked about our offense, everyone's back, and a lot of these guys, especially receivers and all, that played a ton of college football. So we've seen a ton of coverages, a ton of different looks, which has been great. So we're able to make a lot of adjustments on the fly with a veteran group like that.
On the flip side, I need to give your defense a ton of credit.
Absolutely.
Those two backs for Augustana are studs. Dudes.
Yep.
To steal your term.
I like that.
And yeah, they got their yards, but they scored on short fields and turnovers.
Yep.
Your defense played out of their minds.
100%. And I think it all starts with Coach McClint. I mean, ever since he got here, he's made an impact in a positive way. And you can just see, even though we've been getting in fluky situations in games, you know, the guys don't waver. And special teams, we've done a poor job of, you know, putting the defense in really tough spots, and they found a way time and time again. But, yeah, that front seven we have is really, really talented. You know, it all starts up front with the D-line, and guys like Stephen Hoffman just playing out of his mind. And then in the middle, you got Spencer Weir, and on the edge, Max Badouris, and then we got some good, you know, Princeton Harris is a lockdown corner. So we got some cats over there that can play ball, so they make it a lot of fun to watch.
I thought Max Badouris was outstanding on Saturday going east-west, more so than I've seen a lot of linebackers be able to do.
Yep.
I mean, it seriously, from up in the press box, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be a gain of 20. Oh, it's a loss of one. And who's on the tackle? Seven.
Yep.
Max Badouris.
His nickname is Mad Max for a reason. He just plays extremely hard, and every day in practice he shows up. What you see Saturdays, we see every day. And all the hard work he's put in, everyone's now getting to see. So he kind of had to sit behind Gabe Ames for a while. But
learned a little something from Gabe, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Gabe was a heck of a player, and now everyone's getting to see what we've known we have in Max Bedurs. So,
Beavers will host Winona State for homecoming on Saturday. We'll dive back into Jordy's playing days when we come back. It's the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's family meal deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill.
Hi, Dan the GM man.
And Sam the Chevy man.
We are here to let you know that Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji has been awarded Business of the Year by the Bemidji Chamber.
Also, we have received the Director's Choice Award from the Bemidji United Way.
We would like to thank all of our loyal customers and partners who support us and our community. Remember, Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji for all your automotive needs.
Chevy, find new roads. Donlinger Chevrolet.
This isn't your regular cola, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. This is cola like you've never had it before. New Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. I'm Alan Zutz, a financial advisor with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the next steps for your unique situation. Call Alan, Sandra, or Rice at 218-444-0202 to get started. That's Alan Zutz, Thrivent Financial, 218-444-0202.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there?
Welcome back to the Tavern on South Shore. It's the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schultz, Ubis, and Kel with you tonight, along with Jordy Hine, assistant coach of the Beaver football team, played here not all that long ago, as a matter of fact. I'd like getting the alums back here for homecoming week. And
when was your 2017? Was that your senior year?
That was the last fall that I played, then I graduated that spring of 18. So
your brother Jesse was here as the center. How much older is he than you?
He's a year and a half age-wise and then just 1 year academically.
Okay.
So...
Boy, he was good. That would be an understatement.
Yeah, he was good.
Absolute stud. Did you ever get pressure in high school with him in front of you?
Not a whole lot. He was definitely a heck of a football player. So made, especially being the center, we had a pretty close relationship and tight-knit bond, so made life and communication pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably not too many brothers who combine to play quarterback and center.
Right. I've never heard of any. Obviously, hear a lot about twins and brothers on the same team, but not at that relationship.
Well, and you would think, I mean, a lot of the time you're almost predisposed as your body, who what position you're going to play. I mean, a center obviously has to be a little bit bigger guy.
Right.
Where quarterback, I mean, you got to be a little bit leaner.
No doubt. And I think I was kind of the outcast in my family. Hines are big bone people. I think out of all my uncles and cousins that played college
ball. You got
ball,
the better metabolism? Is that what you're saying?
I got some of my mom's genes, I think. But all were offensive linemen except me and one of my cousins. He was a receiver, so everyone else was an O-D lineman.
So growing up, I mean, your brother was always the offensive lineman protecting you?
Oh, yeah. He was in the Husky section at a young age. So he was always a big guy.
That's awesome.
In all seriousness, a quarterback and a center need to be on the same page all the time. I've got a brother. He and I fought all the time. Did you guys ever fight?
On the football field or growing up?
Locker room or on the field?
So growing up, just typical brother stuff. We get in fights all the time. Super competitive, no matter what. Video games, one-on-one basketball. On the football field, we only got into it one time, and it was in college, and he was, like we said, pretty good player, and he never had bad snaps. And we were playing, I forget, someone at home, and early in the game, and all of a sudden he just rifles one past me, or it was low. I'm like, what the hell, you know? And the very next play, 15 yards over my head. So I got up after I covered the ball and just jumped him. I think it was against Wayne State. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? Like, you never have bad snaps, right? Just freaking out at him, maybe some choice words in there. And the D-line was using a dummy cadence, so he was firing the ball back early. So that's the only time we really got into it on a football field. But
well, there's a reason that's unsportsmanlike conduct. That's supposed to be 15 yards.
Wow. I mean, you talk about chemistry. I mean, you can't write that chemistry up. I mean, as far as Brandon and his center, I mean, you can't get that.
Right, and that's
like
where
you
it's
can
like
with brothers.
And you know, I just jump him and get in his ass, and he's just fine. We're very go to the sideline, nothing happened.
Just like brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's forgotten 10 minutes later. Now, you have some homecoming memories, I'm guessing. We were talking off the air about how it's a little earlier, and you had some pretty cold October games, including homecoming, where you had to jump in the lake, right?
No doubt. I think back even my senior year against Southwest, I just remember it was dull, gloomy day, cold, windy, rainy. But, yeah, and thinking back even to 18, 19, like we were talking about, is it was some cold ones there. But, hey, anytime we get in the lake on homecoming, it doesn't matter.
And how many times in your career? Every time?
Yep.
You won every game?
Yep. Last year snapped a streak of 10 straight years.
Right. I mean, it's talked about, I'm assuming, by the guys that, I mean, this is it. I mean, you want to win every week, obviously,
right.
But there's a little bit more on the line when it's homecoming.
Yeah, the homecoming game here in our football program is one that, you know, we talk about whatever it takes to get in the lake. So that's kind of our philosophy and thought process moving into this Saturday.
Do you remember the first time you heard the tradition?
I did. I think it was.
You think it was crazy or did you think it was cool?
I thought it was cool. You know, it was one of the most unique traditions in college football, that's for sure. So I think it was my brother's freshman year when I was in high school. They had a big win. I think they played Southwest, and it was kind of a shootout. And we weren't very good that year. I think we won two or three games. So I was one of the pinnacles of that season. So,
well, and, I mean, again, talk about some of your homecoming memories then. I mean, as a Beaver, they have the Mr. Beaver contest, right? I mean, that wasn't around. I was a Beaver, but that was decades ago. So talk about some of your homecoming experiences as a player and a student.
Yeah, as a student, not much. You know, definitely hitting the books. You know, that's always super important during the week. But I didn't really have anything crazy. They do the Mr. Beaver, which is cool.
I suppose you were busy practicing.
Right. That wasn't really on my mind at that point. But I don't really have a whole lot, or even when I played, not a whole lot of traditions. So
other than jumping in the lake all 4 years.
Yep, that's all that matters. So
what will you always remember about the guys? Because that's the one thing you hear from every player, regardless of the sport.
Yep. I think for me, a big reason, like, besides loving the game and, you know, at the time as a player, you know, those are your brothers. You know, now as a coach, those are guys that, you know, they're like your family. So I think for me, the biggest thing was, you know, yeah, you're going to talk about the games, the big games you won, the big ones you lost, but it's the road trips, the time in the locker room, you know, joking around. That's the stuff that really sticks with you, you know, as you get older.
Well, you had some great years. I mean, I really thought, I mean, and honestly, I thought almost every, you know, year here or there that you guys were going to break through and get to the playoffs. But your team, especially in your senior season, seemed destined for that. And then there was a blizzard against the one opponent that you guys could never seem to overcome.
Yep. That was your last game against Duluth?
my senior year, the Blizzard game, yeah.
Oh, where, I mean, honestly, I remember,
you
I mean,
were
we were talking
team.
About, oh, we're like, this is the year. I mean, there's no way they're not going to beat Duluth. I mean, they are so good and certainly on par, if not better, than Duluth. And then the weather played a factor, which, I mean, that was the worst weather I think I've ever called a football game in. And it's the middle of October of all times.
Right.
And they one year, I mean, you guys were set up, but your team was based on passing.
Yep. And you know what? And they were a running team, and we just didn't execute or make enough plays. I think we had like 20 yards of offense or something like that, which is not good at all. We struggled that day, and, you know, the day before it was 75 and sunny, and we're thinking we're going to chuck the ball around the yard, and all of a sudden a snowstorm moves in. And
wasn't that like a Thursday night game,
yep,
too?
It was. I mean, Midco.
Had it been Saturday, it would have been a whole different thing. I mean, it just aligned. Apparently, the football gods were not in your favor.
Not at all. And, you know, that year, too, my senior year, we dropped one at Augustana in overtime, a game we let slip away, which, you know, we shouldn't have been in that situation. So that's kind of been our MO is losing to a team that we're not supposed to.
One time, right? Yep. Except last year. I mean, you had to have been pretty damn proud.
Oh.
I mean, last year for finally.
Yes.
I mean, finally, you won the games that you needed to win.
100%. And we felt like we've had, you know, really talented recruiting classes the last 5 years, and we felt like we've had more talent than other teams in our league. But
right.
Like I said, we would always find a way to lose.
Well, and this year's kind of indicative of that, isn't it not? I mean, you guys are clearly a good football team.
Yep.
But you can't turn the ball. I mean, Mankato, you can't turn it over five times. I mean,
right.
you just can't. You should have won that football game. And then against Augustana, same thing, right? I mean, so you know you're there.
Right. And, you know, what we're most proud of is, you know, the fight our guys showed. You know, we were in some holes and didn't play well in both game one and two, but the guys didn't flinch. You know, we never feel like we're out of a football game, and that's really shown the last 2 years. And so that's pretty cool to see as a coach.
Well, it shows a lot of character, too, because I know I listened to Schulte's call, Schulte and Best, the last couple weekends, and I'm just like, oh, they're down by that many, and I'm like, halftime, then third quarter, and then I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, they're making a comeback. It just shows how, I don't know, those guys, like you said, they just don't flinch.
Yeah, and that's what's kept us in the games, and, you know, like you said, we know defense can force turnovers, our offense can score quick, so I think that's where that confidence comes from, that no matter what we're up or down, we always feel like we got a chance.
Who were some of the wide receivers when you were flinging the ball around the chat?
Yeah, when I was a young buck, Jordan Oskoyak, a.k.a.
Could
Pup.
Could catch anything.
Yep, he was a tight end converted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then more guys my age would have been Blake Holder, who was an NIU transfer. Juwan Richard was super talented from Schaumburg, Illinois. And then a local guy, Brady Schmidt, Christian Lundy were slots. So those are kind of my cast of characters back then.
Man, I mean, you guys were set up. It's just that one game just kind of eluded you guys. I mean, it had to been ultra frustrating. I mean, you put in all the time and all the effort, and you know you're better than those guys. But that's how the cookie crumbles
right. Sometimes. And even my senior two, we slipped up game one at Winona. And offensively, you know, we played very poor, and they're good defense. And, you know, if we would have played somewhat remotely decent on offense, would have had a chance. And, you know, that's just been our MO.
But not anymore.
No.
A year ago, right? But, that, I mean, you can speak to that as a coach to this team, right? I mean, look, I mean, we were here.
Yeah, and, you know, we even hear, like Coach Bolte brought it up today after practice, like, you know, there was a time, you know, way before my time here, but where Bemidji State was a laughingstock of the league. And that was years and years ago, and, you know, all the coaches and other players that have come through and kind of helped turn this program around, you know, that's what this week's really all about, is playing well for those guys.
Well, being here in the 90s, I can say that. I witnessed it. It was brutal. Brutal. And in my coach, and even in my college days, it was brutal.
Yeah.
So once you
don't
see,
hold back, Biss.
Yeah. I remember a homecoming, and
actually,
you know,
please do.
Usually, you know, you schedule someone who you think you might have a chance against homecoming, and I remember
who the
one
hell are you going to pick this year?
73-0. Oh. Was a homecoming game when I was a student here.
And we lost?
We lost.
Oh,
not one.
No.
So, I mean, I remember, I mean, those times of things. So, yeah, I mean, for those of us who are old enough to remember those days, it's been pretty fun to see the ride since about 1999, 2000,
yep.
when Coach Tesh came in. And honestly, I think
there's only been a year or two where the quarterback position was kind of, well, I don't know if this person's going to fit in, like yourself. I mean, they've a long history. Jeff Martinson, I mean, you can go down the line. Derek Edholm.
Lance Ronkstead.
Yeah, you can just do the math of all the great quarterbacks who have come through here. So it's been pretty refreshing to see after, personally, my first 10, 15 years, it was you were the laughing stock, and it was sad because it's like, oh, it could be so much more.
Yeah, right, I want to talk about making the ESPN top plays. Mm. It was a Jordan Hine throw to Jordan Eskowiak at the Chet. Be the west end zone.
Oh,
the northwest corner of the end zone.
Away from the lake?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Terrible pass, by the way.
I don't remember the.
Terrible pass.
I don't remember much about it other than
it was
ESPN
caught.
Not having a clue how to pronounce Bemidji State. Or Jordan Eskowiak, for that matter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the play that was called?
I don't remember what was called. I just know he was running a vertical, and I just kind of threw it up to him, and he went and made a play and pinned it off a dude's helmet. So, terrible pass, like I said. It was all him. I didn't do a whole lot to help.
He came down with the ball pinned to the back of the helmet of the defensive back. The D-back is like, I can't find the ball.
Where is it?
The back
of your helmet. Yeah, he's caught it.
And the only thing I remember about that was Bemidji or something they pronounced it. And I was like, ESPN, come on.
Yeah, that was a good play by him for sure. So,
who was one of the most athletic guys? Any position in your time playing
that I
here.
Played with? Blake Holder, for sure. The wide receiver who was a Northern Illinois transfer. He was 6'2", 195, you know, probably ran a 4.5, 40-plus inch vert, squat over almost 500 pounds.
Ooh, jeez.
Just run like the wind. You know, he was just, you could just tell he was different athletically. So,
could you ever overthrow him?
Not too often, not too often. But what happened to him that a lot of people don't know is early in his career, essentially he played with two broken thumbs. So that's why a lot of his balls that he caught
two broken thumbs?
So he had to tape both his thumbs under his gloves. So that's why he body caught everything, or it had to be kind of out in front of him.
He's still playing with two broken thumbs.
A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's beast mode. Seriously.
So,
how do you do that?
Yeah. Ooh. As a receiver, you know, kind of need those. So he shows his toughness as well.
Wow.
So, but he was probably, he's up there for one of the most athletic guys that I've seen here, for sure.
Who is the nastiest defensive player that you're like, thank God he's playing for our team?
Oh, man. Let's see here. Obviously, Gunnar Olszewski's up there. he's a guy when he came in he came up in the summer early. He was probably a buck 40. You know, we didn't know this, but he was sick before he got here. He lost about 15, 20 pounds. I think he had like mono or something. And we're like, couldn't even bench 135. We're like, who is this little kid? You know, he's from Texas. Well, the first.
With an attitude.
Yeah. First day of live tackling, he was the boundary corner, knifed in and lit up Gena Adams, who was a rocked up running back that we had. I'm like, okay, maybe this kid can play. So, but he's probably up there for the best defensive player that I've seen at Bemidji in my time.
You surprised at all that he's stuck in the NFL this long? With his work ethic.
He always told us, he's like, if I'm either going to the NFL or I'm going to the military. So he made it work out, you know, no matter what. That was kind of his path and his plan, and it worked out for him. Mm. So
I do feel bad for Gunner. You get picked up by the Patriots.
And then they let Tom Brady go.
Tom Brady's not your quarterback.
Hey, but the
you
Steelers.
You move on from the Patriots. Steelers. Mike Tomlin, great. Big Ben retires.
Yeah, but they need him. I mean, he's played receiver. I was watching the end of the game, and I think it was Jim Nantz or somebody. He should not be running that football right now because it was, you know, the end of the kickoff at the end of regulation and 2 seconds left, and there's Gunner trying to look for something. He's like, he should just be taking a knee.
He's
like,
fearless.
That's Gunner, and he is not going to be taking an E unless he has to take an E.
Absolutely. And that's probably why he's made it and why he's still there is his effort, and he's just fearless. I mean, he looks tiny out there, but he doesn't flinch. He's got no fear
at
all.
I remember him sitting next to us at the Green Mill. And and he is hilarious, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best shows ever. But he's like my size. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't be in the NFL. You have to be a pretty special person to be his size.
Mm-hmm.
to be in the NFL.
Well,
absolutely.
Who would be two of the top five coaches currently in the NFL?
Maybe not
currently, because Belichick has, I think, fallen down a few rungs.
Well,
in the last 10 years.
Personally.
Belichick and Tomlin have to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have seen something out of him as a return guy and as a dude.
Right.
He's on our 53.
Yeah. And, you know, everything that I don't talk to Gunner a whole lot anymore, but everything that we're hearing is, you know, his work ethic. Mm-hmm. And he looks like he's gotten physically a little bit bigger, stronger, like seeing pictures and stuff on social media. But I bet it's just his work ethic, working his tail off, showing up, and making plays when he gets an opportunity.
Well, it can't help that you're a hilarious person.
There's no one like him.
Not want to be around that guy, I wouldn't think. I mean, he's a pretty fun guy.
Nobody loves Texas more than Gunner, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Gunner used to text me back when he was a student. I'd put him to work as a baseball umpire on occasion.
Oh, sure.
He'd always text back. He always wanted to make a buck.
He doesn't need to make any money now.
He hasn't replied to a text of mine in 5 years.
Yeah.
He's big time now.
Don't blame him.
He's big time, no doubt.
With homecoming week coming this weekend, how many of the guys from your playing days will you get a chance to hang out with, or will you get a chance? Obviously, after the football game, you probably will.
Yeah, I know there's a decent amount of them coming up. The ones that are coming up Friday, if they stop down at practice, get to see them then. If not, sometime Saturday after the game, get to reconnect with a lot of those guys.
Well, how's it work then, homecoming week? The guys from former team get to meet the current players if they come into town soon enough?
If they like, usually on Friday after our little jog through practice, Coach Pulte usually has an open invite to guys want to stop down or say something to the team. Kind of an open door policy for alums.
Cool.
Very cool.
We'll shift gears and focus a little bit on the Winona State game. That's when we come back. It's the Coach's Huddle with Jordy Hine, Beaver alum and current assistant coach, right here from the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
The Great Beaver Get-Together is this week. As Bemidji State University's homecoming returns to campus, join BSU alumni and friends for a weekend jam-packed with social events, reunions, Beaver athletics, and more. On Friday, there's a Beaver Pride Luncheon at the Tavern on South Shore starting at 11:30. Then Beaver Soccer with a huge matchup against Minnesota State Mankato at the Chen at 3. Beaver Volleyball team wraps up the day on Friday, hosting the University of Mary in the BSU gym starting at 6. For the complete list of games this homecoming week, log on to bsubeavers.com. The Great Beaver Get-Together. It's homecoming week for the Beavers.
When you're ready to leave your garage like a NASCAR driver, but you can't get your garage door up.
If you can't get it up, call Gaslin. Gaslin Garage Door.
With fully stocked vehicles, they're ready for almost any situation. And that means they can get it up. Call Gaslin Garage Door, and there's a good chance one trip is all they'll need. Call Gaslin Garage Door.
Call 556-1517. Gaslin Garage Door.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. We're Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the right next steps for your unique situation. Call 218-444-0202 to get started. That's 218-444-0202. That's Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent Financial. 218-444-0202.
Is your power tool not working right? Is your generator not starting? Does your chainsaw, blower, or pressure washer need maintenance? If you're having issues with your gas-powered tools and equipment, or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem and help you do your best work. Our friendly and efficient staff can service most makes and models of gas-powered equipment. For quality parts and service, see Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji.
For both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair, choose Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's certified Apple service center in Bemidji and now open in Grand Rapids. We can help with hardware or software problems, spill damage, screen replacement, virus removal, or the accessories you need. And we're open Monday through Friday from 7:30 until 5:30 for service on your Apple product or PC repair. come to Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle. Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Beaver football team has homecoming this Saturday against Winona State. Soccer team at home against 16th-ranked Minnesota State Mankato on Friday and Concordia St. Paul on Sunday. Those are the three games we have on the Beaver Radio Network this week. The volleyball team is also at home against UMary and Minot this week.
Is the soccer team ranked? They should be.
Receiving votes.
That's it?
Well, I know they lost. They had a tie.
Well, they had a tie, and then they lost to a
lost
D1
to a
team.
Division 1 team. Which yeah, doesn't
that
hurt
shouldn't count.
No. So three games this week on the Beaver Radio Network. Jordy Hine, former Beaver quarterback, current assistant coach. Coaches wide receivers and is the special teams coordinator for the Beavs. What can you tell us about Winona?
Yeah, they're off to a 2-0 start right now.
Ooh.
Whole new staff. Coach Sawyer retired. He was in the league for, gosh, 25, 30
Forever.
Years,
yeah.
I think. So Brian Bergstrom is their new head coach, and he brought in a whole new staff. But they're a good football team. You know, they're sound on defense. Coach Erickson's done a good job with those guys. And on offense, Coach Frickty is their OC, and he was the OC at Northern State the last few seasons. So they got good coaches, good players, so it'll be a tough game on Saturday.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. They were the dominant team in the NSIC.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still a good program.
And, you know, they've always been a tough football program, and Coach Sawyer did a really good job with that program. And, you know, and Coach Bergstrom, to start off his time there, has done a good job as well.
You are also the special teams coordinator. Sorry. Have to bring this up.
Yeah, oh, we're going to talk about that.
Uh-oh.
The kicking game has been a question mark this year.
Next question.
And you're next a quarterback. Question. I mean, you're not a kicker.
In all seriousness, if you knew what the problem was, it'd be fixed.
Right.
Is it any one thing?
Or no, we've had a few issues. We got to, you know, we just got to get confidence in our guys. And, you know, we know Maximo's got a good leg, strong leg. Now we just got to get him, you know, feeling confident when he's going out there and that he's going to go make all these PATs and go bang that kick. The first game, we had too much pressure. We got blown back. I don't think anyone would have made that kick. But we got to be better and more consistent. It starts at practice. So we spent a lot of time emphasizing that this week. So
well, I think a lot of people just assume the extra point is a gimme.
Right.
I mean, you know, and of course, you know, in the NFL, they moved it back because of that.
Yep.
In college, it's still the same. And so as an average, you know, person who doesn't play football but can kick a football yep. 15 yards or 20 yards, it's like, how come most of the time you can't make it? But yet it's so impactful.
Yeah.
As you saw on Saturday, you make your extra points. You're not going for two at the end. You've won the football game.
Yep.
So why is it that can be so difficult?
It's frustrating, but hey, we just got to go out and do our job and execute every snap, every rep.
Well, and it's not all on the kicker.
No.
think a lot of the time people just point to the guy
who's
kicking the football.
There's a lot of
football.
Moving parts, for
yes.
sure.
Yep. I mean, it's the snap, it's the blocking, obviously, the pressure, the
if
hold.
The timing is off on any mm-hmm. of those moving parts. The kick is no
which
good.
We saw yep. in the NFL. I mean, look at Cincinnati.
Yep.
This past weekend, who, I mean, Evan McPherson practically won them the Super Bowl a year ago and looked horrible
yeah.
on those two kicks at the end of the game.
No doubt, and that's, you know, one area that, you know, a lot of people overlook. There's a lot of excitement. You just scored a touchdown, but we got a job to do immediately after. So can we focus in for those 15, 20 seconds and execute at a high level?
I've known Brent long enough to know that even if there weren't questions with the kicking game, that going for two was a possibility last week.
Yep.
How does that not affect a kicker's confidence when the decision is to go for two?
Yeah, I don't think much. As you say, you know Coach Bolte. I've known him for quite some time now, and we're an aggressive staff. He's an aggressive coach. You know, he's a gambling man. We're going to go for it a lot on fourth downs. We're going to play to win. So we knew in that game I think regardless how good Maximo was kicking or not, I think with about 8-9 minutes said, hey, we're going to come back from two scores and we're going to go for two and win the game. That was our mindset.
And finally, you guys got advantage of a turnover in a short field.
Yep.
To get the second touchdown.
Yep.
It's amazing. Positive turnovers.
So special
equal
teams.
Points.
I mean, as a quarterback guy, I mean, you certainly know how important it is. It seems like it's just
right.
So weird. I mean, the whole game, you know, offense, defense, all of that, but it all seems to come down to special teams.
Yeah.
Punting or, like, the first game, the fumble at the first punt. I mean, it always seems that something on special teams impacts the game.
Right. And it's crucial. You know, it's the third phase of the game that a lot of people forget about or
overlook.
Don't really know. Yeah. And I think for us, week one to week two, we made some strides, you know, between our units. We got a lot of new faces, a lot of new guys, and now getting those guys, you know, live bullet reps in games and getting them more comfortable, I think you'll see our special teams units, you know, getting better each week.
Take the listener through what the advantages are of the rugby-style punt.
Yeah. Number one, we love it. We're a big rugby team, but a lot of it comes down to what the punter is comfortable with. So we try to cater to him. So Maximo, compared to Connor, who's our backup, Connor's more of a, you know, pro style. He's going to hang back there and kick it. Where Maximo, he's a lot more comfortable and confident when he's on the move. And you can probably see that the way he moves and whatnot. So he can boom the heck out of the ball rugby a little bit better than he does normal. So we ride whatever's comfortable for him.
Interesting. I mean, again, when it comes to special teams as a quarter, I mean, isn't it a little frustrating? I mean, that the game hinges on, and a lot of the time it's the special teams team, which, you know, a lot of the are the freshmen or the sophomore trying to make their way. I remember Mikey Junker.
Yep.
I mean, that was your era, right?
Yep.
I mean, I remember
yep.
him as a freshman on the special teams standing out because of how well he played. And that's kind of where you make your mark to be promoted, right?
Yeah, and I think what's kind of unique about special teams, you know, offense is only offensive players, defense only defense. Special teams is a combination of both. Mm-hmm. So it's the only units where, you know, you get a mixture of OND guys, you know, trying to come together to, you know, get the job done. But yeah, you know, our philosophy at Bemidji State, you know, kind of our starters are expected to start or be on at least one. And then a lot of those second, third string guys, you know, that's their time to step up and get, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30 reps in a game on special teams.
Well, and I remember Junker just going, oh, my God, that guy needs to play more. I mean, you can tell his passion. And then, obviously,
yeah.
He had a hell of a career.
You find out what guys, you know, are going to be good players for you, those young guys. Like right now, we got a guy, Tyler Shaver, you know, Spencer Shaver's little brother, but he's impacting the game in a positive way on special teams. Doesn't get a lot of snaps on defense. But he's a guy that, you know, works extremely hard, and his effort is through the roof. So he may not be in the stat line a lot, but for us on special teams, he's doing a really good job.
Outside of the actual football game, most of the fans that have followed Bemidji State football for years and have gone to the homecoming game obviously know about the jump in the lake. How special is that, and how much do you guys talk about it even during practice during the week?
Yeah, it is a special feeling, especially when you're doing it with your brothers, your coaches, whoever it may be. We really don't talk a whole lot about it. You know, our philosophy is just going 1-0 this week. We obviously know it's homecoming, and, you know, on the exterior, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more distractions, but we're just trying to focus on doing our job and doing whatever it takes to get in that lake.
Well, funny story, Brian and I, Schulte and I were leaving media day on Monday. We walked out of the building and saw Zolly Kaplan. I think it was the first time I had ever said this to anybody, and it was a positive. I said, go jump in the lake. And he just laughed. He goes, I hope so.
Right. Our guys know what jumping in the lake means. You say that to some random down the street, they might look at you a little funny.
Right? I was like, oh, if I would have said that to anybody else, they would have probably, like, thrown me across the room. But
with the changes in rules for touchbacks and such now on kickoffs, how has that impacted what you guys are trying to do when you're kicking and when you are receiving?
Yeah, our kickoff philosophy, you know, if we have, you know, Maximo's feeling good, if we got a good wind, we're trying to boom it deep and out of the end zone, essentially just eliminate that part of the game. And then KOR kind of flipped. We are aggressive. We want to return the ball. We've been pretty poor on that unit the first two games compared to last year. You know, we ended the number one KOR unit in the conference and the top 15 in the country, and right now we're probably one of the worst in the conference. So trying to find a way to, you know, get our guys in good position starts with me, and then our guys going out and executing.
Isn't it a lot staying in your lane? I mean, I remember the Mankato game, right? There was a couple of returns there that they had against you, and it's like, oh, you gotta contain. The guy on the sideline has got to stay on the sideline and push him back. If you don't, I mean, they get behind you, and then you see him running down the sideline.
Yeah, that one fell on me as the coach of punt. You know, we spent so much time prepping for Mankato, worrying about, you know, protecting number one and getting the punt off number two, where we spent minimal time truly focusing on lanes and what happens.
Staying where, yeah,
so that,
yeah,
that falls on me,
well,
as a coach, not getting us
wasn't
ready.
Wasn't the plan that day kick it away from him anyway?
Yeah, that
that too.
He's good.
Which he returned like an 80-90 yarder against Duluth week two. So
ouch.
Everybody's going to be kicking it away from
he's
him.
He's a pretty talented kid, that's for sure.
It seems like more and more teams are now trying to kick it short on kickoff. And I'm like, just call the fair catch and take it at the 25. So many times you're fighting to get back to the 15 or the 18-yard line.
Yep.
Save the hit, take it at the 25, be done with it.
And that's kind of what I think college football in general is kind of turning to. And I wouldn't be shocked if kickoffs are out of football in 10, 15 years, you know, with all the rule changes they've had on special teams, primarily the kickoff and KOR, no more wedge blocks and stuff like that. But we'll see. We'll see.
But if you're the guy catching it, I want to run it. I mean, if you're Gunner, and I remember Gunner's like, don't catch that. Don't catch. Fair catch. Fair, and he would never fair catch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the guy, you're like, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to make something of it.
We got a lot of guys that want to return, but we need to find more guys that want to block.
Yeah. So,
there are very few Gunners.
Yeah. Not many.
I just remember the
need more Gunner guys that want to block.
Mm-hmm. The Gunner classic. And Mikey Junker punt return at Wayne.
Oh, that was
everybody on the sideline is don't do it, don't do it. Good decision there, Gunner.
That
well,
was
just
incredible.
Like the very first punt of the year was muffed.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't. You could see that he was backing up, and he was just not going to catch it. Like,
just lost track of where he was.
Right, lost track of where he was and where the ball was going to land. And it's like, just get out of the way then.
He's very uncharacteristic. You know, yeah. Jake never dropped. He didn't drop a single one as a true freshman last year. And first one of the year, you know, that just happens.
Well, and that really does. And, I mean, you feel bad for the guy, but you could see it. You could see it happening. It's like, just get out of the way. But, again, as the player, you're like, I'm going to catch this, and I'm going to return it for a touchdown, because that's the mentality they have.
You guys talk about blocking, and I still have this vision in my mind of that video watching Joshua Lay blocking.
Oh, the pick six.
He, like, literally plowed down.
Mikey Junker.
Yep. Yeah.
Pick
that
six.
Was
it's
incredible. From the goal line. You need, like, 10 of him on your team, right?
That was – I've never seen Panda – we call him Panda. We've never seen Panda run so fast in my life.
That was probably by far one of my favorite highlights I think I've ever seen.
It is hard. Great.
That's an awesome
that
nickname.
Much mass to move.
Oh, yeah. He was moving, too. He had the elbows flying, knee drive and all. And just,
it wasn't all arms and smoke and mirrors. He was making some ground.
He was.
That was
That's
great.
Awesome.
He was.
Is your brother coming back this week?
He is. He's bringing his whole crew. He's got three little ones now. And a fourth on the way, so he's a pretty busy guy.
Teaching in Perham?
Yep. Wow. So my mom was a second grade teacher. She retired right when he graduated, and he took over her job.
Well, that can only happen in small town
Minnesota.
Yeah,
exactly. And his wife, Beth, she works at the hospital in Perham, so he's living his dream.
Wow. Three kids and one. I mean, they're all pretty. I mean,
yeah, it's 6'4" 2" right now.
Wow, little.
Yeah, 6'4" 2" Whoa. I think, or 6'4" 1"
Yeah, he's
half.
A little busy.
So that leads me to the question: what's life like outside of football for you?
Oh, when we're in season, there's not a whole lot.
Aww.
Off season, hey, it's awesome. You know, I'm a guy who likes being on the lake, like I mentioned earlier. So, and I like to play a lot of golf. So. Coach Bolte, in the summertime, the offseason, he's like, get your stuff done and get out of here. I don't want to see you guys. So in season, we grind a little bit, but off season, we get some fun.
Did you know that you'd want to stay here?
Originally, no. You know, even when I did graduate, I got my degree in in marketing, had a phenomenal financial advisor in Doug Life, who kept me down the straight and narrow path.
He wasn't one of your professors, was he?
He was, and he was my advisor.
Oh, and your advisor.
He's my advisor. So I was planning on just graduating, start selling insurance or something in the business world, but Coach Bolte asked I wanted to get into coaching, and I was still in school that spring and tried it out and fell in love with it. So here we are.
Best decision ever, right? Yeah. Isn't that what they say?
Well, I mean, I came here from the cities and never left.
Yeah.
I mean, although it's more like Perm.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yep.
A little bigger.
A little bigger, yep.
More amenities, so to speak. But
exactly. But the lake life is very similar.
Well, Schultze and I got married, moved to Brainerd, and then ended up here in Bemidji, and we haven't left either 18 years later.
It has that effect on you.
Right.
I told her the 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Evidently, here I can't count.
Nope.
We're on 19.
So you were at a D1 school, correct?
Yeah, I was at the University of Northern Iowa.
Yeah,
right away.
And so what happened there?
I was down there for a cup of coffee. Loved it.
Have you ever been to Cedar Falls?
Well, no. I know. Iowa, you don't have to convince me. I mean, I don't want to live in Iowa. I've been to Iowa, and I have been to Cedar Falls. But, yeah, I mean, but it's D1, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you...
And you're playing in a barn.
That's a great opportunity, though, from a... Small-town kid from Perm.
Right.
That building confused me.
The Unidome?
Yes.
The Unidome. That just says, that's just weird.
No, I love my time down there. Just things didn't work out and ended up here and, you know, no regrets or anything like that.
Well, I mean, so. I'm a true believer in things were meant to be.
Right.
Right? I mean, and you brought a ton to us and Bemidji State. So we're thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm thankful too. It worked out well. My parents are very appreciative. Then they have to go to two different football games on the weekend. So
or to Iowa.
Yeah,
I mean, quite honestly, sorry, I'm not a big fan of Iowa. Yeah. Brian lived in Iowa, right?
Yeah, Washington, Iowa.
9 months.
Don't let Coach Bolte hear us talking about Iowa.
I was just going to say, Bolte right now has turned the radio
might,
off.
You might fire me.
One of my favorite stories is the Upper Iowa bus incident. Were you on that bus?
That might have
been your time.
I don't know. I remember we had a bus breakdown.
The lawnmower
in the cities.
Guy driving?
No, that wouldn't have been me. No.
Okay, all right.
So the story goes, that's the only time I've ridden the bus to Fayette.
Which, terrible drive.
Yes. But I'd rather take the bus than drive myself to that wonderful town.
Godforsaken town?
And there's one main drag in town. It's got 4 gas stations and 2 bars. 3 of the gas stations were closed down. There was a guy literally driving right down the lane. 2-lane road, right? Main Street. I don't know if there's any stoplights or stop signs in that town. Driving right down the lane.
Streets. That's all I remember.
Riding a lawnmower. And the bus is behind him trying to get around him because lawnmowers don't go as fast as a bus does. And he finally just pulled off to the side of the road and double birded both buses.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured you'd remember.
Oh, my
gosh. I mean, I wasn't on the trip, and I remember the story.
I'm like,
what was that?
It sounds like small-town Iowa, what
Welcome
might go on there.
To Iowa.
And what town is that?
Fayette.
Fayette.
Yeah.
Great story.
We all get to go there next week. Oh, joy.
Yeah. And hopefully the lawnmower man is back.
Yeah, he'll remember the Bemidji bus probably.
I'm like, why are you upset that a bus wants to get around you? You're on a riding lawnmower in the middle of the road. Move over.
And in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean.
Oh. As they say, only in Iowa.
Although
right?
I do love their stadium. Their stadium is one of my favorite ones in the league. I love the stadium there.
Really?
The brick.
I don't know if I've been there since they finished it.
They got the brick all the way around. They got a big jumbotron. It's a cool little stadium. One of my probably top 3 or 4 that I like.
That's not a very big school either, is it?
No. Nope.
Last time I was there, they were still in construction.
I mean, football has got to be a big draw for them. I mean, that gets some of their – I mean, a big
right
percentage of their students, well, right?
I don't know if this is true, but I heard they're a big online school. But I – That town size, though, there can't be too many people roaming around.
No. Oh, those baby blue uniforms, though.
Oh, that too. And that doesn't help the cause.
Do you remember how?
I do remember why, but that's not helping
was
the cause.
Was it their coach that we had on the air that one time? Upper Iowa's coach?
Yes.
That's
I'm not kicking it to, I'm not kicking it.
We had a really great coach or show one night. We're the Upper Iowa
he
coach.
He had had a few beverages before he joined us.
Loaded.
And it was awesome. I'm not kicking it to Schreiber if it's the last thing I do.
First kick,
Schreiber. T- touchdown, Bemidji State. It was awesome.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, oh my God. He apparently didn't remember what he said 2 days prior.
We had to cut him off.
The game was at the Metrodome.
Really?
It was at the Metrodome because I did the game because you were at hockey or something.
No, I was there.
Yeah.
Were you really? We were Oh, God, we were laughing a lot. I mean, that was one of the most memorable shows we've ever done in 20 years of doing shows. Mm-hmm. His interview was classic.
He was at midfield, and you and I just looked at each other and started laughing.
Yeah.
Like, they kicked it to
him. I'm not kicking it to Schreiber.
Well, they caught him. We caught him. The coach's show was a Wednesday night, and I think he had another coach's show that he did at, like, their local Eagle EFW or something. And so
I don't know.
He was already on his way.
He had a few beverages, and we caught him after that.
You're right. It's the Upper Iowa guy. That was one of the most memorable interviews we've ever done.
Brian had to go, okay, coach, thank you so much.
That was like 2 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, he's going to say something bad.
And yeah. I think he was gone by that end of that year, too.
He retired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's funny. I did not know that.
The memories.
So, obviously, you only played, what, two games in Upper Iowa? Maybe three, I guess.
Let's see.
Were you five years?
My freshman year we played there, and then we didn't go back till my first year on staff coaching.
Oh, wow.
So, 2014 and then 2018. So,
well, be thankful for that.
Yeah,
you only had to go once.
Our last few trips haven't been good down there, so we're not.
Yeah,
taking
you
got to
do something about that.
Yeah,
no.
But first things first, Winona, and again, they have been a really good football team, and they started out 2-0, right? Yep. Who did they play?
Week one, they beat Minot State.
Yeah, that's not saying much.
And then they beat University of Mary, which they shut
down.
UMary
was up.
That's not saying much, though.
UMary was up through three quarters.
But those two teams traditionally, like last year, were not very good.
And UMary has a good offense, and they held them to, I think it was like 280 yards of offense total in the game. So they got a good defense.
Where did Winona finish last year? Because the South, I mean, they were pretty stout last year.
I mean, Wayne like State 7-4-ish. I don't know exactly.
That's pretty good.
But yeah.
I mean, when you think about, I mean, it's Mankato, Augustana, Wayne State, who were powerhouses a year ago.
Yep. Sioux Falls in the
Sioux
mix.
Sioux Falls. Yeah. Wow. And that's pretty good for them.
Yeah. They're always going to be in the hunt or in contention. So
you forget about that, but I remember. I mean, you know, fans might, but I mean, from 1999 to 2008. Winona was the team to beat.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, Duluth was all right. I mean, obviously, they've been good. But, I mean, Winona was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the Mankato. I mean, like,
they were.
Literally,
yeah,
Winona
yeah.
State. I remember when Schulte and I came here in 2004, it was like,
Winona's our enemy.
Yeah.
Although Duluth has always been our nemesis.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're playing them more. But Winona was always the powerhouse.
In my time as a player and a coach, you know, out of the South, they consistently play as tough as nails.
Right,
year in and year out. Every time we play them, they always – I think it's because, you know, sometimes some of those South teams probably overlook Bemidji. Mm-hmm. They never did through the years.
Well, hopefully they will this time because, you know, they played Minot and they played Mary, so maybe they think you guys are like them.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think they'll be overlooking us too much, even though we're 0-2 right now. So we got to come ready to play.
Well, they're gonna know you're hungry, and mad because you haven't won the last two games.
They got to know that.
Yeah, no doubt. So
as my
angry
dad,
beavers.
As my dad used to say, "Dogs get mad, people get angry."
True.
Jordy, thanks for your time tonight. Best of luck on Saturday.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I had a lot of fun.
Jordy Hine, former quarterback of the Beavs, current assistant coach of the Beavs, here on the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh.
So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
It's every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Isn't it time to start taking care of you and your health? Get into a saltwater spa and put your body and mind at ease with minimal chemicals and water that is much easier on you without the effects of chlorine. Or get into a sauna and sweat away the bad toxins and fight off those nasty viruses. We have plenty of options, so stop by and see us at Hot Spring Hot Tubs of northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Tartan.
Whether your team is champions of the universe or can't tackle their way out of a paper bag, Lakeview Liquor and First City Liquor of Bemidji have the refreshments you need to keep cheering them on. Stock up with Bemidji's largest selection of off-sale wine, liquor, and beer at Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji's South Shore and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. That's CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. First City Liquor and Lakeview Liquor of Bemidji.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Something wrong, something right, something to say.
I think we should have a field goal kicking contest. We've been talking about extra points between the break. I'm like, I think I could still do it.
Schulte, count, and miss.
It's a 23-yard field goal. 20.
So what would we win 20. If we get
now, granted,
a field goal?
I mean, if we put a tee and kicked it, that's a lot different than having a snap, yep.
Oh,
a hold, and a kick with a lot of big and guys running at you.
I'm this is easier get, said
I'm
than done.
I'm just saying you just sit there with a tee and run as far as you'd like up to the ball and kick it.
And you don't think I could make it?
No.
Uh-uh.
It looks so easy. And not just to me. I mean, every fan goes, how mind can't you make that?
Mind you, I was a kicker in high school.
And I have
you were
never
not.
Been a kicker. No. No, and it looks so easy. But just like everything else, I mean, you know, it's not. And there's a lot of other factors other than just the kicker. So you can't blame it all on the kicker.
No, absolutely not.
I say we have a field goal kicking contest between the three of us. I was
oh,
a soccer
I'd be
player.
Up for it. I will win.
I was
the only non-kicker
player.
In the group.
Yeah, right? I was a soccer player back in the day.
I mean, seriously, I mean, almost everyone that watches football.
With a bad foot,
would
even.
Go, I can make that. It's an extra point.
It's like the Vikings fans'
go
mantra.
Try it. I have not kicked an extra point, Biss, since 1992.
Coach Bolte, if you are listening, you need to line this up.
But I got a key to the place. I can get in and get a ball and a tee.
But we're old. I mean, again.
We're old. Speak
if you're
yourself.
A field goal kicker in Division II college football.
We're moving on.
Okay. All right.
Beaver soccer we'll team is at home on Friday and Sunday. Friday against 16th-ranked Minnesota State Mankato. Media and fans like to say there's going to be a grudge match. Mavericks knocked Beavers out of the conference finals last year. I always vote with the last year was last year, this year was this year. But as we talked with Coach Stone last Wednesday, these have been coin flip games for the last, like, 10 years. They each have won some and they've each lost some. Should be a doozy on Friday.
For
sure. Kel will be there.
I will.
Well, they've been so good. I mean, it's been so much fun for all of us, obviously, to see the growth of the soccer program and to become a national powerhouse from the days of knocking on doors to trying to get people to play on your team to the national powerhouse has been pretty sweet. But, yeah, it's going to come and go. And obviously this year they lost. Last year they won everything, it seemed, or tied. They never lost a game until the end, right? I mean, they were undefeated.
They were undefeated.
Until the end.
They're still undefeated at home this year, though.
But you can't expect that, obviously, to continue all the time. I mean, there's opponents, and they're trying to gear up, and they're like, we can beat Bemidji State.
And their one nemesis, kind of like what football has with Duluth, is BSU
the
Soccer
Mavericks.
Has with the Mavericks, and that's who they play Friday at 3 o'clock, and that's going to be a battle.
Is that now, do they play home and home, or is this the only time they're going to play?
Until the tournament.
Until the tournament, so
yeah.
This is good. I mean, it's home.
Yeah, we're at home. BSU is tough to beat at home. Then the Beavers will play on Sunday at 1 o'clock.
How much did they lose from a year ago? I mean, clearly they were...
Like four players?
They were the best team they've ever had, and they've been good.
They lost a couple of the younger players, but they also graduated, I think, three or four.
All right, so there's been a little turnover.
But they've got five fifth years that came back to play this year. Sarah Wendt, you got...
Megan Dahl.
Megan Dahl, thank you. Allie Smith, Megan Majewski, who is coming off of an injury. She redshirted last year. There's an enormous amount of talent on there and great leadership. A lot of great veterans, great goalkeeping. Alyssa,
that's what it comes down to. Who can score the goals?
And who can stop those goals?
And who can stop the goals? And they've had both.
Alyssa Stumba helped them to the tournament last year. She's back after playing this summer with the Green Bay Glory.
Goalie?
Goalkeeper.
That's the goalkeeper?
Yeah.
All right.
She played with the Green Bay Glory of the USLW League during the summer. The only team Minnesota Aurora tied. It was their first game. And Alyssa was playing in between the pipes. And the opposite goalkeeper was like this well-known, you know, everybody knew her name. And before that game, I kept saying over and over again, I'm like, you just watch Alyssa Stumba. She's going to put up a good fight against this Minnesota Aurora team. And she did. They tied 1-1.
One being biased or nothing.
No, not at all, because I'm a Beaver.
Well, hopefully they can. I mean, what, they have one tie.
Yes.
So that dropped them to receive. I mean, weren't they like the number one or two team?
They were nine.
Ninth.
That's the highest they rose last year?
That was preseason this year.
This year. Last
preseason.
Year they were up at like 1, 2, 3, weren't they? I mean, they were up there.
I think the highest they got was 4.
All right. But they had, I mean, I just remember.
Rankings mean nothing.
Well, that's
yeah.
true. And
especially
they
preseason.
Didn't lose a game until the very end when, you have to lose a game. And didn't they lose like in?
4-1 to Central Missouri.
Yeah, at the very end. In,
it was
which
a
was
Sweet
like,
16.
Yeah, the quarterfinals of the national tournament, which is pretty sweet.
That was awesome that they made
they
it that far.
They get it that far. But, of course, now they would be like, no. I mean, that's not, we want to win the whole
Exactly.
But that's still a huge accomplishment. And hopefully, I mean, year to year, obviously there's turnover, not to mention on the other teams who are having turnover and maybe getting better and more wise to what Bemidji's doing.
Exactly.
But wow, what a fun ride that's been. Remember? I mean, it was your first year, wasn't it? That we talked to Jim Stone, who was just new on campus, and about how, I've had to go around.
He's been here longer than us.
21 years. He's in his 21st season. But I remember
we're only on 19.
I remember.
Okay, but don't you remember when he came on and was like, I had to go
door knocking.
To the door knocking in the dorms. Have you played soccer before? Would you like to play soccer? I mean,
and
we've come a long way.
He is now recruiting some players
that national
are
powerhouse. National powerhouse.
The Beaver volleyball team is also at home. It's not often that football, soccer, volleyball get to be at home for homecoming.
Yeah, and hockey's are not in season yet.
Oh, my God.
It's
not hockey yet, is it?
Next weekend.
Next week.
Next weekend?
Women's hockey hosts Lindenwood.
Oh, my God.
Friday, Saturday. I know. That's when
I'm
I get really busy.
I'm not ready for that.
The Beaver volleyball team has lost 7 straight.
They've struggled for years.
They have.
Hopefully they can turn it around here.
It's a tough task when you look at the rest of the teams in that league.
Well, they're the best in the country, aren't they? I mean, they got a lot of the top teams in the country.
They play UMary and Minot this weekend, who both are winless in the league. One of them, I forget which, if it's Minot or Mary, has one non-conference win. The other has none. So.
This is the time.
This is the weekend to perhaps get some momentum for the rest of the year. So volleyball plays Friday evening and then Saturday at 5. So right after football, you can head to the gym. Right after the volleyball match, head to the street dance. Right after the street dance, come here to the tavern.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a plan to me.
That's hard to keep track of.
I know, right?
Football, soccer, street dance, tavern.
All right.
There you go.
Pre-game tailgate party.
Oh,
You start at 10 a.m., don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the pre-game homecoming is at 10 a.m.
We do?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
We're going to have free pizzas.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. There was a lot of cartoon keggers in my day. I'm sure that's probably not any different than it is now, right?
What's the weather forecast for Saturday?
Chance of rain.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be rainy
the
next few days.
Not a ton of rain.
I think Saturday's going to be better than the next two.
Chance of rain.
We'll take it.
It's not snow.
Thank True. God.
Thanks to Jordy Hine for joining us tonight here on the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern. Thanks to all of you for joining us, both here and on your radios. We will be back next Wednesday talking hockey.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
I know Biss is rolling his eyes.
Hockey.
Three weeks from yesterday is the Tom Serratore spaghetti dinner. 3 weeks from tonight is the start of the Tom Serratore show. 3 weeks from the day after tomorrow is the first Beaver men's hockey game.
That's crazy.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Bring it on.
We're back next Wednesday. Info online, beaverradionetwork.com. Good night, everyone.
Go Beavers.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.